Celtics lose a tough one to the Memphis Grizzlies, but it's the trade rumor that's stealing all of the headlines. I'm going to talk about Marcus Smart maybe being on his way out. What? To Tuesday, Locked On Celtics. Millis, let's go. Rainy days back with the vengeance. Back. All the real Celtics fans in attendance. This the truth like 34. This like walking in the garden when you hear the roars. Crowd goes crazy, most in-depth coverage on the daily, mainly podcast royalty, the content kings. When you talking about the franchise with 17 rings, focus like Danny at the deadline, global with it, got a local feel like the red line, the blue line, the green line, play it in between time. I'ma throw my C's jersey on in the meantime and press play. When the F's done, I can't wait until the next day, trying to stay in tune with the C's, that's the best way. Melly. Hey there, welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast. Thank you for making this show part of your daily routine. Whatever it is that you're doing, wherever you're going, I appreciate you taking this show along with you. I'm John Corrales. I host this show Monday through Friday. It's a daily podcast, so subscribe to get it to your device every day, Monday through Friday, every weekday. I cover the Boston Celtics for Boston Sports Journal. You can use the promo code Corrales to subscribe for $5 off the annual subscription, and I'm also the author of the Boston Celtics All-Time All-Stars, a book you can buy at online booksellers everywhere. And you can get a free, not a free one, you can get a signed personalized copy on my website, johncorrales.com. Go check that out. This episode is brought to you by Locker Room. Locker Room is the first social audio platform made for sports fans. The app is free to download. Once you're in, you can talk with fans, athletes, insiders, me, once a week. So get it. It's on iOS. Follow me at John Corrales. Once a week, you'll see me go live. You can come on, talk to me, join me on stage, quote unquote, ask me questions, whatever. Today, segment one, the good from this game against Memphis. Segment two, the bad. Segment three will be that trade rumor that involves the Celtics being the lead team for Aaron Gordon, but could involve Marcus Smart going out. Interesting. Let's just start with this game here. The Boston Celtics lose 132-126 in overtime. The last thing this team needed was an overtime game. In all of this stretch, 8 games in 12 days, 5 games in 7 days, to play 5 extra minutes of basketball was not ideal. And the Boston Celtics kind of faded in the overtime, where they were outscored 15-9. Just no stops available in the overtime. They only scored the 9 points in the 5 minutes. It was just, that was a rough one. You can just see. They had their opportunities to win it in regulation. They could have. You can say they should have. But I will say that the Celtics fought. I thought the Celtics fought. Now, in this, the middle two quarters and the third quarter is where this game really got lost. The Celtics' defense was pretty terrible, and that's where this game really got away from them. But they fought. They came back in that fourth quarter and nearly flipped this game. And it was really just they gave up too many points in the paint. They gave up 80 points in the paint. So that's obviously going to be in the bad section. But in the good section, I thought the Celtics did a wonderful job offensively. Now, Memphis has the 9th-ranked defense. People look at it as, oh, it's the Memphis Grizzlies. They're a 500 team in the West. They're not a joke. They're 20-20. They got a better record than the Celtics. And they're not just some team that's, oh, well, it's Memphis. They should have just walked in there no matter who they had and won that game. No, that's not the case at all. Memphis isn't bad. But the Celtics still managed to put out a 117.3 offensive rating. Now, the problem is that their defensive rating was 122.9. That's not great. But the 117.3 offensive rating in this game is on par with the Brooklyn Nets offensive rating for the season. And over the past two games, the Celtics have an offensive rating up over 118, which obviously would be number one if they were able to maintain that level over the course of the season. Now, some of it in that first game against Orlando was they were just drilling three-pointers, and they're not gonna hit three-pointers at that rate. But mostly why I bring up these numbers is because how they got those points. How do they score these baskets? How they're cutting more, they're passing more. They had 31 assists on 47 makes in this game against Memphis. That's just a number that the Celtics don't put up very often, but they did, and they put up 27 assists against Orlando. Now, yeah, it's against Orlando. I get it. Yeah, but point is, for a team that doesn't move the ball, for a team that has shown a real lack of secondary assists, the so-called hockey assists, this team has come out over the past two games and moved the ball. And as I wrote on Boston Sports Journal, I know how people perceive what I say when I'm positive about a team that's disappointing for this season. What I'm doing here is I'm looking for a pulse. We're trying to save a patient here, and we're trying to see if this patient has a pulse, and they still do. And the Celtics defense, again, terrible in this game, has not been good this season at all. It's uncharacteristically bad. Even in a season where defenses are bad in general, the Celtics defense has been especially bad. Okay, so that's a problem. They're going to try to fix that, hopefully with some better health, and who knows, whatever happens with this trade deadline. But you can get past some of those struggles if one of your ratings is elite, right? Like, you could just be a team that outscores everybody and wins games 140 to 130. Okay, that's the Brooklyn Nets. That's kind of where they are. They're a team with an elite offense and a defense that they're trying to figure out, but they're winning games just by outscoring you. And you could be the opposite. You could be the defense team that just shuts everybody down. It can't score a lick, but you know what? You're going to put up 95 points, and you're going to hold teams to like 89, and that's how you're going to win games. That's how some teams do it. You can be bad at one if you're elite at the other. So the Celtics, what's their best chance right now? Is it going to be it's very clearly not going to be the defense. They need to fix their defense. But their best chance right now to turn something around over the next 29 games and kind of show that, hey, we're not going out without a fight here, it's to turn this offense into something that's at a much higher level than were they 12th ranked? They were worse than that. Whatever it is. They need to turn that part around. And so when I look at this game and when I look at the Orlando game, you start to piece together like, okay, does this team have anything that could redeem it? Well, here's something. An offense. Okay, now Jeff Teague was doing a great Jason Tatum impression, 26 points, 6 assists on 10 of 12 shooting. That's not something that's usually going to happen, but the Celtics, like I said, generated a ton of assists. Jaylen Brown, 27 points, 9 rebounds, 5 assists. 5 assists for Marcus Smart, 4 assists for Daniel Theis, 4 assists for Robert Williams, 3 for Peyton Pritchard, 3 for Grant Williams. Moving the ball, that's how you rack up assists. You don't need one guy to have 15 of your 31 assists. You just need everybody to be moving the ball. That's to have 31 assists and have no one have more than 6. That's kind of amazing. That's actually pretty amazing when you think about it. This is how the Celtics need to play. So Teague was spectacular. Mark it down. March 23rd, John Corrales says Jeff Teague was spectacular, and he was. I mean, 26 points, 10 of 12 shooting. He was a couple of late, strong finishes. He was the reason that the Celtics even had a shot at this. Jaylen Brown, the backdoor cutting, that type of stuff, the ball movement. Jaylen Brown said after the game, "We're trying to emphasize this. We've made adjustments." I think one of the big adjustments why they're able to do this is that there's no Tristan Thompson. The not going double bigs is allowing them to go with Daniel Theis or Robert Williams, and both of those guys can pass the ball. Daniel Theis made a really nice pass to Jaylen Brown. Robert Williams made a nice pass to Jaylen Brown on cuts right down the middle, but just backdoor cuts. And Brown was able to finish at the rim, And because there was another floor spacer, because it wasn't two bigs, he's not coming off of a stagger screen and trying to turn a corner. He's just trying to find some, you know, some space in those situations. When he's got an extra floor spacer out there and the opportunity to make a cut, it's a little bit different. Now, you might need those double big lineups in certain playoff situations. I still think that that's true. I think playoff offense is going to be something that's a little bit more sloppy and rugged, and the Celtics certainly know how to handle that. But for now, to be able to get cuts and movement and all that stuff, huge, 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 huge. I think it's a great sign that the Celtics, hey, look, they're not going out without a fight. They're trying things. They're adjusting without the benefit of practice. They're making these adjustments. It's meaningful to me. The other big positive here, Robert Williams, who, you know, when if you look on, I shared the shot charts on Boston Sports Journal. Robert Williams came in. The Celtics gave up 80 points in the paint to the Memphis Grizzlies, but it was really just progressing like crazy. And Robert Williams came in the fourth quarter, 6 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. And after that, like the fire hose was turned down to like a trickle. And they're very important. Robert Williams defensively was the big reason why the Celtics were able to kind of keep the game close and mount a comeback and tie the game up. Unfortunately, not win it, but tie the game up. His ability to kind of hold off the Grizzlies, that was huge. And now he played 28 minutes in this game and was super, super important. And I hope the Celtics can ramp up his minutes appropriately. But 28 minutes is a lot. They're very clearly worried about his hip. And hopefully he keeps responding well and they can ramp him up so he can start playing 31, 32, 33 minutes and be much more of a factor, because he's proven himself to be important. And so I thought he was really good. He was a very huge reason down the stretch why the Celtics even had that opportunity. Coming up next, the bad Marcus Smart's overtime, the overall defense, that is coming up next. I told you earlier about Locker Room. If you don't know what Locker Room is, and you have an iOS device, you can go ahead and download it. It's basically sports talk radio on your phone. You can hop in without all of the crazy sports talk radio stuff. You're going to hop in to the NBA room. You're going to hop into my room, because I'm going to be there once a week. Join me, join in the conversation, ask me questions. That's been the fun part. People can come on in, you request to hop on stage, I bring you on, and we talk. It's like calling into the show. So, but you do it through your phone, through the app. Okay? It's a perfect place to join conversations, start conversations about the league. You can find fans just like you on Locker Room. You can organize watch parties, debates, post-game breakdowns, everything. You have a chance to chat with me, like I said. So you can join me. Follow me on the app at John Corrales. It's going to be once a week. So follow me. Follow me on Twitter at RedsArmy_John. I'll be announcing it. I'll be trying to do it on off days. So schedule will kind of vary a little bit. But I want to hear you. I want to hear your opinion. So join me on Locker Room. RockAuto.com is the place to go for your car needs. I got a DM this past week from a person who used RockAuto.com for a part that a mechanic told him was $1,000, he got it for $400. Seriously, this is a DM that I got. It's awesome that this is actually coming through. Why go through a mechanic? Why go through one of these chain stores? Why go through a dealership when you can go to rockauto.com? Always double check through rockauto.com. You can save who knows how much. This dude saved, what's that percent? Was a 200-some% there? $400 that he saved. That's $600 that he was about to spend that is now still in his pocket. That's the rockauto.com difference. There's no different price tiers for pros and do-it-yourselfers. There's no differences in price like, you know, an airline ticket. It doesn't make any sense. And Rock Auto doesn't believe in that because they're a family business. They've been serving auto parts customers like you online for 20 years. It doesn't have to be a $1,000 part that becomes a $400 part. It could be wipers that you save $5 on or $10 on. It could be floor mats. It could be anything from simple to complicated. Just check with rockauto.com before making any sort of decision on anything that you need for your car. You're going to see what I'm talking about. When you buy something, make sure on rockauto.com you write "Locked On" in their "How did you hear about us" box. That's how they know we sent you. That's how they know that we gave you this good deal. Write "Locked On" in their "How did you hear about us" box. It's an amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com.
Be sure to follow our social channels, LO Celtics on Twitter and Locked On Celtics on Instagram.
Make sure you're getting all of your sports news, not just your NBA news, all of your sports news with the new Locked On Today podcast hosted by Peter Bukowski. It's less than 20 minutes. It hits on all the big headlines, everything you need to know from the night in sports. Make sure you're subscribed to the Locked On Today podcast. The bad in this game, this loss to the Memphis Grizzlies, has to be the defense. The defense gave up 132 points. It gave up 80 points in the paint. Just a ridiculous number. A ridiculous number. 80 points in the paint. And mostly second and third quarters. That third quarter where they were outscored 34-21. Just a brutal parade. Starting at the perimeter. But look, Robert Williams was in there for those two quarters, and he couldn't stop it then. It stopped in the fourth quarter for sure. But in the second and third quarter, it starts on the perimeter. The Celtics on pick and rolls. Some of it was Daniel Tice for sure. There was a Scal highlighted it on the game. Like he would play a little too far up. His positioning on pick and roll defense was not quite where it needed to be, and it hurt him. And Memphis was able to just get to the basket and attack relentlessly. Proper positioning. This is the type of slippage without practices that it does not. It's hard to kind of combat, but you got to know where you're supposed to be against certain teams, and where you are against one team is not where you are against another. So coming off the back-to-back, you could be up on some of these guys in Orlando because they're not going to burn you like they would with the Grizzlies. But you know, you play one game, you come in there the next game, and all of a sudden it's boom. Oh yeah, I'm not supposed to be up here. But you do it out of habit 2-3 times, and they torch you. And John Morant is just going to attack like crazy. Jonas Valanciunas is just a beast and will make you pay for being out of position, getting caught a little bit too deep. I mean, Valanciunas had 19 rebounds, 7 offensive rebounds. That's killer. That right there is a killer number. The Celtics, just especially as the game wore on, they could not clear away the defensive rebounds. They gave up 17 offensive rebounds to the Memphis Grizzlies. The Celtics, meanwhile, only got 5. The second chance opportunities, just too many chances to get another look, to get another, you know, even just wear the defense down and make you play defense for another 15, 20 seconds. You know, like that's meaningful too. You get an offensive rebound, even if you miss that next shot, forcing a team to defend an extra shot clock, 14 seconds now. The cumulative effect of that is problematic. So that's why it's important to rebound. But Valanciunas was just too big, too strong for anything that the Celtics had. I know that not having Tristan Thompson was great for the offense because they didn't play double big, but it might have been worth if, and this is going to be the conundrum that Brad Stevens faces when Tristan Thompson is healthy, assuming that he's still a Celtic by the time he does get healthy. But when you have those three guys, if you still have those three guys, I like these caveats that I got to keep throwing in here. But if you have those three guys, then somebody's not going to play. Like, it's very clear now that you can't go double big unless you need to. Like, you can't just go double big because that's how you play. The Celtics' best play, best offense is by going with one big. And we'll see if Tristan Thompson, if you stick Tristan Thompson in there, if he does the same things, because Robert Williams is comfortable operating from 15 to 18 feet. He operates out there well. He has the ball. He passes very well. He even took a jumper that it was a big jumper too. And those have gone in. They're a little line drivey, but they went in. But it'd be interesting to see if Tristan Thompson has that same kind of effect being the sole big. But you could have used him against Valanciunas, that's for sure. Could have used him rebounding a little bit, that's for sure. That's where a lot of these points in the paints come from. The, you know, getting the rebounds, 19 rebounds is a ridiculous number. 17 offensive rebounds overall is a ridiculous number. But to give up 132 points with the other team only making 12 three-pointers is that takes a lot of effort. And they were only 10 of 15 from the line. The Celtics outdid them at the line. The Celtics scored 15 more points from three. 15 more points from three, 5 more points from the line. But the Celtics were outscored in points of the paint 80 to 54. And that's the difference. The getting into those the higher percentage at the rim, that's where the problems started and ended for the Celtics. Stop that spigot a little bit in that third quarter. Get some stops in the third quarter. You don't need an overtime. Probably win this game. Speaking of overtime, Marcus Smart's overtime was not good at all. He was 0 for 3. He forced a couple of jumpers. They were middle of the shot clock, like 14, 13, somewhere in that range. One was a 3. I think he might have been trying to maybe get a foul on that 3 because he had the guy on his back. And maybe he was hoping to get 3 free throws. Didn't work out that way. I can see what he was going for. I thought the mid-range jumper that he took was forced. And in the middle of the shot clock in that situation, I think it was a tie game at that point. That was a spot where could have moved the ball a little bit and get a better look than a mid-range jumper. Now, of course, make miss league, if he makes that shot, it's like, whoa, what a huge shot that was. But that's not the type of shot I think that the Celtics would have wanted. Of course, again, if he makes it, we forget that that even really was a shot that, you know, we focus on the good stuff and whatever. But that he didn't make it, and obviously that was an opportunity that was missed. So Marcus Smart's shot selection, he had a turnover late in the fourth quarter, which was also really bad. Not his best overall performance. And, you know, go back-to-back with his performance against Orlando, and not the best, you know, not Marcus Smart's finest hours. But that leads us to where Marcus Smart might, has he played his last game as a member of the Boston Celtics? That's possible, apparently, because according to the Action Network, he is potentially going to be moved. And I'm going to talk about that next. BetOnline.ag is the place to go for all of your sports action. I know football's done and everybody loves betting on football, but you can bet plenty on the NBA, March Madness, NHL. If you don't want to bet on sports, TV, reality shows, award shows, real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. Go to BetOnline, use the promo code LOCKEDON, and you're going to get a 50% sign-up bonus. Use the website or your mobile device, sign up for free, and you'll get a 50% sign-up bonus on your first deposit with the promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Now, they do not have odds on Built Bar Madness, but I know that they're trying to figure out at BuiltBar.com which is the best tasting Built Bar around. They all taste great. They're all low calorie, low sugar, high protein, and high fiber. They're the best tasting protein bars on the market. But which one is the best? We are inching closer to a decision. And now chocolate brownie chunk and lemon almond cheesecake are in the matchup. The last heading into the enticing eight with the winner facing off against caramel brownie. Caramel or caramel? I think caramel. Brownie. Coconut brownie chunk versus lemon almond cheesecake. I'm going to go coconut brownie chunk. I like coconut. So that's a very much a personal preference type of thing. Do you like coconut? You're going to vote for that. People either like coconut or they don't. They don't think it's just okay. So, but there are plenty of great flavors. If you don't like coconut, if you are allergic to nuts, anything like that, you can go to Built Bar. There's plenty of options for you. They're all awesome. Go to BuiltBar.com or Bar_Built on Twitter, @Bar_Built on Twitter, to vote, to let them know what you think. While you're at BuiltBar.com, use the promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off your next order. That's LOCKED15 to get 15% off your next order, and check back to see who won today's matchup and who will become the best tasting protein bar.
Make sure you're subscribed to Locked On Celtics wherever you get podcasts, or follow us on Spotify.
You can get draft analysis on the top prospects available in this year's NBA draft with the Locked On NBA Draft podcast. Check it out 4 days a week, March Madness, scouting reports, draft rumors, mock drafts, all of it from credentialed draft experts. Subscribe today and follow Locked On NBA Draft. Action Sports Network, Matt Moore, reported on Monday night that the Boston Celtics are the frontrunners to land Aaron Gordon. The Athletic and Sam Amick confirmed, because this is what you do in the news. You hear something, you go and you confirm it. And so they confirmed that Matt Moore's report is correct. The Celtics are now considered the frontrunners for Aaron Gordon. Here is the catch. The Celtics have put two first-round picks on the table, and the deal would include Evan Fournier as well, which is interesting because that's a lot of money to be spending on two guys. Now, remember, I've been talking about the Celtics and the tax, the Celtics and the hard cap, and all of a sudden, they're not just bringing in Aaron Gordon at $18 million. They're bringing in Evan Fournier potentially at $17.1 million. So together, this is $32+ million that the Celtics are somehow going to bring in. That's a lot. And I'm struggling to figure out how it's going to work. But according to both reports here, the most likely scenario would involve Marcus Smart heading to the Magic. So somehow, Marcus Smart going out would bring back Gordon Hayward and Evan Fournier. So Smart, two first-round picks, and there's got to be more. There just has to be more. That's where I'm struggling with this. Okay, so I don't like the fact that they're going to trade Marcus Smart in this deal. I don't think that they should. I don't know that Aaron Gordon and Evan Fournier are the guys to move Marcus Smart for. Also, bringing in those guys at $35.2 million. The Celtics are $22 million from the hard cap. They're $15.7 million from the tax line. So if Marcus Smart goes out, he makes, what, $13 million, right? So $13.4 million. You're bringing in $35 million and you're sending out $13 million. You still have to make, that's still not enough. Because you're right, that's right on the edge. There's still got to get somebody else in here. Something else has got to go. I'm sorry. That's right on the edge of the hard cap. But it's also going to be over the tax, which we've talked about. If they pay the tax this year, then they are a repeater tax in two seasons versus four seasons away. And is Kemba Walker, Evan Fournier, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, and Aaron Gordon, is that starting five good enough to compete against Brooklyn and Philly and Milwaukee? I mean, it certainly helps. It certainly helps. But is that enough? You're basically trading away Marcus Smart for an upgrade, a marginal upgrade. I just don't see it. I just don't see how this is possible. It's got to be more. I think it's either got to be Marcus Smart and Tristan Thompson along with the two picks, or somehow maybe Kemba Walker is involved and they send Kemba Walker out. But none of this is reporting Kemba Walker. None of this is reporting any of that. It's Marcus Smart being mentioned in the deal, and it's not a guarantee that it's Marcus Smart. There's still some question here. Multiple sources told Matt Moore that Boston has offered two first-round picks. Now, whether Marcus Smart is the guy, now I'm going to read directly from Matt's report. Negotiations continue with the Magic, preferring Marcus Smart, while Boston is reluctant to part with their longtime emotional heartbeat and all-defensive team guard. But somebody's got to go. You need to move the salaries. If it's not Kemba, if it's not Marcus Smart, then it's got to be Tristan Thompson and a ton of other guys. And Orlando doesn't have the guys to do this. They don't have enough. They have to accept all of those players. You can start tacking on, Nesmith and Langford and, you know, Grant Williams. And, you can put six guys together that work financially, but it's got to work on the other side. They don't have four extra roster spots to take these guys. If this reporting is correct, that it's Aaron Gordon and Evan Fournier, to me, it has to be Marcus Smart, and it has to be Tristan Thompson, or it has to be Kemba Walker in picks. Like, that's the only way I see it working, unless it's just Aaron Gordon. Now, if you throw in a third team, and this is the other way, if the framework of the deal also includes Evan Fournier, right? Like, we're reading the reporting here. The framework involves Evan Fournier going to Boston. There's got to be a third team involved somehow. So maybe if it's Tristan Thompson and you're trying to piece together enough to, maybe it's Tristan Thompson and Daniel Tice and Romeo Langford, and you're going with Aaron Gordon as your starting five, and you're starting small, and you go with Robert Williams as your second big, and maybe you just sign somebody off of the buyout market. I mean, that's something that could work, I think, because Thompson and Tice makes your 14, and if Romeo Langford or Aaron Nesmith are involved or whatever, then you can get down to, you can start to get down towards that tax line that you want to avoid. Because again, the Celtics are less than 16 million from the tax line. If you're bringing in 35, you got to cut out about, 17? Is that right? Probably not. Like 19. So where do you get $19 million from? Tristan Thompson is 9. Daniel Tice is 14. Romeo Langford, when you throw it together, 3.6. And the extra from Tristan Thompson, that's, you're about 13. Nesmith, you're getting close. This is going to really, I don't know. I'm talking this through stream of consciousness to try to make this work, to try to make this make sense. And I don't see it. I don't know how the Celtics are going to do this and keep Marcus Smart if it's really Aaron Gordon and Evan Fournier. I just don't see how that's going to happen. And maybe this is the reporting is right now just throwing out names. Maybe people are throwing out names just to see, hey, if Evan Fournier is going in this, well, what are you getting from them for Evan Fournier? Maybe somebody's trying to finagle something. Maybe this is just media kind of, playing games through the media. That's certainly possible, because I'm struggling really hard to try and figure out how the Celtics do this and still accomplish their goals, because I don't think they want to pay the tax. I really, really, really don't think they want to pay the tax. And they're not just going to be like, oh, yeah, Aaron Gordon and Evan Fournier, we'll pay the tax for that. That's fine. Because that doesn't make any sense. Because then you're going to pay Fournier next year? He's a free agent. Are the Celtics willing to pay Fournier next year? And if they're not, then why are you going into the tax this year for him? Doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. This isn't a win-now move. Why would the Celtics go into the tax this year unless they're going to pay Evan Fournier long-term, in which case you would still have Aaron Gordon making 16-plus. Evan Fournier is going to make whatever he's going to make. You still got Tatum making big money, $30 million or so next year, close to it. Jaylen Brown making 25. You still got Kemba Walker, which means you're going to have to try to move Kemba Walker, I guess. I'm not seeing it. I'm just not seeing it. We'll see. Trade deadline's coming. It's on Thursday. So we'll get some clarity between now and then, I hope. But as reported, I am struggling real hard to see how this deal gets done. I'm really struggling with it. We'll talk about it more on the next. I'll get Philip Rossman Reich from the Locked On Magic podcast to come on and talk about this trade rumor. And who knows, maybe between now and the time we record it tomorrow night or later on Tuesday night, we'll get some more clarity on this. So subscribe. Make sure you're subscribed to the Locked On Celtics podcast. If you are a regular listener, a 5-star rating and a good written review would be awesome. And share the podcast. Tell your friends that they should be listening to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network.
Thank you for making Locked On Celtics the number one Boston Celtics podcast on the planet.